Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Here's the 0-2. Way outside, there is a wild pitch. Getting away from Maldonado and down to second goes Urban. Pitch was about 6 feet outside.
Wild pitch.
Bob Rosenberg, the official score, confirming what seemed to be fairly obvious. But he is the scorer. He has to make it official.
That was about as wild a call as it was a pitch.
He likes to repeat himself like the guy in Goodfellas. Johnny Two Times, was that his name?
Two times.
Mm-hmm. You get the idea. One ball and two strikes. I picked right up on the concept myself. Wasn't there something about getting a newspaper or something? A character in Goodfellas. Got to get a paper. That's all I got.
And Jimmy Two Times, who got that nickname because he said everything twice, like...
I'm going to go get the papers.
Man, oh man, do I miss that as much as the baseball games themselves. Hi, everyone. Alongside Ron Coover, Zach Zaidman with you on Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score. The Hall of Famer, Carlton Fisk, will join us just after the top of the hour. But we've got someone who's just as legendary to talk to for the next few minutes. And joining us on the Alpamonte Ford Hotline, Alpamonte Ford in Melrose Park, is the legendary radio voice of the Chicago Cubs, Pat Hughes. What have you been doing during the pandemic, my friend? How are you, Pat?
Gotta get a paper.
How you doing, partner?
Actually, I gotta get a haircut. How are you guys doing with your trims? You getting haircuts here regularly?
Whoa, Nelly. I'm 6'3 now, partner.
See, I had my wife help me out. She gave me a cut the other day. When it was done, I remember the old saying, you get what you pay for.
Oh, no.
Trish was hacking and slashing, huh?
Well, I was gonna take a match and try to burn some of it off. It seemed to work for Santo, but I...
Oh, no.
That's all I got.
It's good luck for some people.
How are you guys doing? I really miss being with you and broadcasting baseball with you and having fun and laughing every day, and I'm hoping that day arrives here in about 4 or 5 weeks.
Well, me too, buddy. We were listening to some of the clips of all of us in the booth. One, as we were going on, we were talking about dreadlocks and now just last. Oh, it's just great. Yeah, we miss our games, but I can guarantee you, and Bobby Nightingale, who we just had on just a few minutes ago, said we are his favorite booth, and I know why, because Bobby's been a friend a long time. We have as much fun as you can have doing a broadcast of a Major League Baseball game as you could possibly have. You can't have more. There are other groups that have as much, maybe, but you can't have more fun than we do as a group in our booth, and that's, you know, because of you being leader of the group in the booth and been there a long time, but we all have a great time, and nobody is out of the realm of getting a shot or two, are they?
Well, we do have fun, and it's important. I think fans and players and broadcasters and anybody who goes to a ballpark should have fun, and I mean laugh out loud several times each day. It's a fun place to be. I love watching baseball games and then talking about it. And these last 5 or 6 years with the Cubs being a perennial contender and a world champion, it's been even more fun. So I think That's one thing I'm looking forward to once there is an agreement. And I did hear the conversation with Bob Nightingale, and I agree with him. I think there will be baseball. I'll be very surprised and very disappointed if there's not. But I think that the Cubs are going to be a very good team. I'm interested to see how David Ross performs as the new manager. I think he's going to be dynamite. We have the nucleus intact from the World Championship team of 2016, namely Bryant and Rizzo and Baez and Schwarber and Contreras and Lester and Hendricks, among others. So I'm looking forward to it on many levels.
I think all of us are. We're joined by the voice of the Cubs, Pat Hughes, here on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. You know, one of the things that we talked about with Bob Nightingale in our last segment was the presentation of baseball without fans in the stands. It's going to be different. Pat, have you thought about what we may have to do as a broadcast crew in order to compensate for that lack of crowd noise in the background?
Well, I've been practicing making the fake crowd noise. I don't know if you guys...
Oh, no, Coom, here it comes!
Whenever the Cubs do something well, just when the play is over, just... I don't know.
I thought you used to do that just after I was giving the analytical side of what we're... Just because you liked it so much.
No, it's going to be a little different, but... I have a feeling, Ron, once the game starts, just as broadcasters and performers, we have our job to do. And whatever the crowd does during a game, they're going to do. And I don't control that then. I certainly won't control the lack of crowd noise now. We'll just have to call the game and have fun and be descriptive and let people know what's going on. It's almost like the old... theory that I was taught way, way long ago, and they said, prepare for the best, hope for the best, prepare for the worst, and be ready for anything, and stay loose. I think the games are going to be very different. The game is always unpredictable, which is one of the great things about baseball, but I think with everything considering, here's one thought that just came to mind, Ron, about an hour ago. There's not going to be any cold weather games this year. Not a single game in North America by the 1st of July is going to be played in what you would call cold weather. The way we normally start games in April, you've got 10 to 20 to 30 games where the temperature is 40, 42 with a wind chill of 36. You're not going to have any of those. So I think it's going to be hitters games immediately once they start, and the pitchers had better be ready to go because the hitters are going to be swinging nice and easy.
Well, will you have separation anxiety from your sweaters?
I do, and thanks for asking. Yes, nobody has asked me about my sweaters. I don't think I'll need them, though, starting on July 1st.
That's true.
I took a big risk over the off season. I left those sweaters in the booth. And I think some clothing hound may have, gotten in there and taken them, but
now you do know we've had construction in our booth this year. Our booth is going to be, a little bit bigger. They've made some adjustments to the booth, so you never know. Some of the construction guys might have got cold, and they might have helped themselves to your sweaters.
Well, they'll be sorry. But no, I'm looking forward to it. Don't you think though that the games will be? Played in warm weather, and they should be entertaining right from the start, Ron.
I do. All joking aside, the game is meant to be played in that, 70 to 90 degrees. I loved playing in the warm weather, when the hotter the better. Your body feels better. The game plays better. The grip of the baseball better. The swings are better at home plate. So I couldn't agree more. I look forward to, jumping right in and not having to deal with the wind howling in at Wrigley Field or pitchers not being able to get a grip on their breaking balls because of the cold. So the entire game just plays better, looks better, and it will be a lot more fun watching that kind of baseball right off the bat.
Ron, I told you the other day, and Zach, I don't know if you've ever had a chance to see Ron Coomer's at bat against David Wells, the day that David Wells pitched a perfect game against Ron Coomer's Minnesota Twins at Yankee Stadium, that would have been the old Yankee Stadium, in 1998. And I saw your last at-bat of that game, eighth inning with one away. You came into that game lifetime 8-for-13 against David Wells with two home runs. So I know he was sweating bullets with you batting, afraid that you would be the guy to break up his perfect game. And you almost did. You hit a 2-1 pitch on a one-hop smash. Knobloch, the second baseman, Chuck Knobloch, able to knock it down. I thought he made a very good play. That ball was ticketed for right center field. And I kind of chuckled because you often talk about taking pitches to right center. That's exactly what you did with that pitch. It was looked like a fastball away, and Knobloch somehow got a glove on the ball, knocked it down, and then threw you out by a step at first. But I thought he showed a lot of courage just to get in front of that heat-seeking missile.
Well, it was one of those moments. You know, everything was right for David on that day. David Wells. He, you know, we had some balls that were hit well. I hit a couple that I definitely could have been base hits. Paul Molitor did. There were a few balls hit that just didn't work out for us that day. And David threw the perfect game. It was, you know, one of those days where, you know, the baseball gods were in his corner and things worked out for them. That's for sure.
Our final few moments here with Pat Hughes on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Pat, I want to know what you've been doing during the quarantine. What have you been watching? What have you been reading? Because I actually had a chance with all this time to listen to your two-part Baseball Voices series with the edition with Bob Costas, which was fantastic. But what do you do without baseball? What have you been taking the time to watch or read now that you actually have the time to watch and read?
A little bit of everything. I might read about music, I might read about movies, I might read about baseball, something about history. I just watched an American Experience documentary on the flu, the Spanish flu, I think they called it, back in 1918, which was absolutely devastating. But no, I work out a lot. I work out every other day. I read a lot. I love the Michael Jordan Last Dance documentary. I thought that was a brilliant, just an amazing piece, and I was riveted to that. I watched all 10 episodes, and I actually saved them, and there was so much going on that I think I might even watch it again. But as great as I knew Jordan was, I think I have even more respect for him now than I did before, and that's almost hard to believe, but it brought back a lot of memories. It's hard to believe that their first championship at the end of the 91 season, that was almost 30 years ago. It doesn't seem that long ago. And their last one, 1998, that's a full 22 years ago. So it's just amazing how much time has gone by. But just watching Charles Barkley play, that brought back memories. And I remembered, Ron, you're probably old enough, and Zach, you probably are too. When he played at Auburn, Barkley would get a rebound, immediately put the ball on the floor, and he'd be, you know, blasting up court. Nobody would get in his way, and he would lead the fast break, and many times he'd just take it all the way up for a layup or a dunk. And then to watch him against Jordan in the finals when Phoenix played the Bulls, it brought back memories of just how great of a player Charles Barkley was, too. So I've enjoyed that immensely. I like reading. I just read a great trivia question today about baseball. When Babe Ruth hit 54 home runs in 1920, how many other teams in the big leagues? There were 16 teams at the time. So aside from his Yankee ball club, there were 15 other clubs. How many of those 15 hit more as a team than Babe Ruth hit by himself with 54 that year? The answer is one team.
Yeah, right.
The Philadelphia Phillies were the only club. I think they hit 64, but Ruth hit more home runs than every other team in the American League and every other team in baseball except one, the Phillies, which is an amazing thing. And I bring that up because you're talking about Michael Jordan being a dominant player, which he absolutely was, but to be as dominant as Babe Ruth was is just unbelievable. How do you hit more home runs than every team in your league, Ron?
What would that be worth today?
I would say about a 50% ownership of the ball club.
You think about how our game is perceived now of the strikeout, the walk, and, you know, everybody's swinging up to try to hit the ball out of the ballpark. That's what they want. That's what everybody wants. If you hit more home runs than every team in the league except one, what would you be worth in today's game? You'd have to have ownership of a team.
And when I read that note, I went to the Baseball Encyclopedia. There were four teams that he hit more than twice as many home runs. The Reds, the Pirates, and both Boston teams. At that time, it would have been the Boston Braves of the National League and the Boston Red Sox. Ruth hit more than twice as many home runs as those four teams in that one year of 1920. Just amazing. So, Zach, there's a long answer to your question. That's what I've been doing.
Well, I'm glad you filled us in. Glad you're doing well. Stay safe. Hopefully, we'll get a chance to see you in person very soon, if and when Major League Baseball gets underway. Pat, thank you so much.
Very good, Zach. Good to talk to you. Same, Ron. You guys take care, okay?
Patrick, can't wait to see you, buddy. Yep.
Sounds good. See you guys.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.